first from who am I, because the last time I did a presentation, I forgot to say this, and there was people after asking. So I assisting engineers working at Proxy SQL. My name, sorry?
Ah.
Okay. So I'm assisting engineer working at Proxy SQL. My name is Javier. For any more information, if you follow us, so that's GitHub and GitLab, and that is what I am usually. But a more interesting question is how am I here? And this is just because of this conference. Because in certain conferences I found this a couple of years ago, and yes, it was supposed in 2020 in 13 Corner. We're still hiring since then. I am speeding up a little bit here. But okay. So if you are a developer and you find yourself meeting any of those conditions, so.
It's
possible. You tell me when I continue. Okay, so brief introduction to Proxy SQL. I'm going to be very brief. So high performance protocol aware proxy for MySQL, focus scalability, flexibility, zero downtime, and just basic topology, right, like any other proxy. our offers. So these slides normally are like three or four, but we are going only to care in this presentation about the first three of those. So load balancing, query router, cluster monitorization. We are not going to see any of that, even over the three of that today. But SQL firewall, statistic, mirroring, and the statistic parts you can develop a lot there. But yeah, we are going mostly to care about load balancing and query routing. Probably cluster monitorization will be also important if you are, you know, using what we are talking about today. But we have done a lot of recent work there lately. But let's move on and say what is Galera cluster and what is the cluster that we are experimenting on with today. So multi-privity cluster based on asynchronous replication, easy to use, high availability solution. So it has all the goodies of a multi-primary cluster, right? So in essence, it's multi-primary or not primary replica, and it's used virtual asynchronous replication, which I put this disclaimer here because it's how they officially announce it. So it's virtual asynchronous replication, even in logically synchronous, the actual writing and committing happens independently. And that's very important, the fact that it's virtually synchronous. Because what we are going to care is about the definitions of the isolation levels of per cluster node and per cluster itself. So the typical isolation levels that we have with uncommitted, recommitted, and repeatable read. So Galera says that all these isolation levels are available for you at cluster level, being the default one, repeatable read. And, you know, serializable, but no, obviously. Serializable solves all of the problems this talk, but with caveats that, you know, make it pointless for the purpose of the talk. So mostly performance. Repeatable reads offers non-duty reads, and reads remain repeatable during transactions. Suffers from the loss of date problem. I am making this distinction here because we have just going back through the isolation levels we have per cluster, per node, and having repeatable read. At no level is something is something that solves some issues that you are going to expect a lot more at cluster level. So because of that, Galera has another kind of isolation during replication, which is a form of I'm just going to get a little bit more into the details of the loss update. So the loss update, for any that is not familiar, It's just that during one transaction, you perform a read, and then another transaction perform a read and update, and then the first transaction perform the write, and that update from the second transaction may be lost. It's something that could happen a lot more at cluster level. So in Galera, they have a form of snapshot isolation that is an enforcement of a repeatable read, and it's essentially the first committer win. So that leads to deadlocks, but it's a protection for the loss of date problem. And I have just said all this for saying that, okay, we have a lot of consistency across the cluster, right? Across the cluster nodes. But this this level of isolation is respected as it was in one node itself, but there is something that is missing. What is the next question? What about the semantics, right? Are the semantics of these isolation levels preserved at cluster level? They are not, because for that, we have WSC sync wait, which enforce the read committed semantics at cluster level. So once you have that, you don't have any potential read after write, right? But it's a very, at what cost? You have elevated now the semantics to the semantics that you probably wanted from the beginning at cluster level, but what is the cost of that? So we are going to provide some numbers. What is the cost from that? Now, as in every measurement benchmarking thing, there are a lot of things that we can discuss here. I am going just to provide some numbers that I think that are representative from what we have tested, but there can always be discussion. So this is the system. I'm just saying that because just for the setup that you're going to see, if you have a system that is alike, you will see that CPU, not bottleneck, memory, not bottleneck, and light disk, not bottleneck. What we are seeing is the performance on the cluster, which is not fully, there is no resource constraint in more than one resource at the same time. So the versions. These are the versions. Probably the infra will be available if someone wants to try itself. So the versions, this is the version that I am using. And the network is a Dockerized infra with 500 microseconds delay imposed for a 1 millisecond RTT between the nodes. And that's because you cannot benchmark a cluster with zero network latency, especially because you are killing the whole point of benchmarking. So cluster, let's start talking about some numbers. Single primary writes will be against multi-primary writes. So the first, you benchmark like this, and you see that the multi-primary writes outperform the single primary writes, and you're like, wow, that's wonderful. That's what I wanted, more nodes, more writes. Around 70% more writes. That's incredible, right? Okay, this is not the truth. And why is it not the truth? Because there is a lot of lies that we tell ourselves when we do benchmarkings. And this is pretty much the super ideal scenario for a replication of a multiprimary, which is transactions, only writes. I don't care about many synchronizations problem that will arise of the level of isolation that we have talked before. And all nodes are equally busy because I have decided the load heavily distributed and the queries are all the same and all take the same time. Okay, of course, perfect throughput because everything takes the same time all the time. Same with reads, only reads, and you have crazy amount of throughput yourself. But it's not also outperforming like before. Now, Gaussian, the same, EDL. Now, mix it with read write. Now we start seeing some more real stuff. So what happens when I mix the load? Well, obviously numbers go down very hard. Now, this is the cluster reads. We have dropped from 30,000 to around 10,000 reads, and we have dropped from, I think it was like 5,000, 6,000 to what it looks like between 2,000 and 3,000. So it's half the reads and half the writes. Reads probably one third. This is evenly distributed load. Now we compare the cluster versus just one node of the cluster. Now it's all the same load, this mixed load, but one node. And now we have 15% more writes and 19% more reads, but in reverse. Now the single node is outperforming the whole cluster. And this makes sense. This makes sense because you're in a mixed load, and in a mixed load like that against all the nodes, you have a lot of collisions, you have a lot of problems, and that's all gone in one single node. But, you know, this is not anything that you're not suspecting. This is just a problem. This is just usual. This is how it's supposed to be. But what we want is to increase the reads because, you know, this is, we have 30,000 reads and now we have 10,000. So let's try to improve that. So let's make a read-write split over the cluster and see what happens. So if we do a read-write split, and this is HAProxy, by the way. This part, this first part of the bare metal are going to be HAProxy for because this is the dummiest read-write split. We have a port for read, we have a port for writes, and that's it. So the cluster reads, we see that they are more or less the same as we had before, but then we have what are split reads, which go insanely up. And our writes has gone down a little bit. So we are compromising our writes by our reads. And that also makes sense, because by doing that amount of reads in the whole cluster, we are creating a lot of pressure in the other cluster nodes. Because this is maximum cluster throughput, like 10%, minus of 50% minus of the total cluster throughput on reads. Well, it's fully on reads. So you're compromising a lot, and you're losing some writes. So, well, that's OK. That's OK. But we will in this journey of talking about the semantics and the synchronization, and I have just done the dumbest read-write split in which I don't care about any read of the writes or anything, right? Right, the semantics. So what happens if I now enable the synchronization for the readers, and I enable the full cluster read committed semantics. Okay, that's fun. So what happens is that we go back to basically the same performance that we were having against the whole cluster, which makes sense, because now instead of writing against everyone, you are writing against one and reading from the others, but waiting for the replication. So we can see that the split reads go between the same same frames. It's split reads still win, but it's marginal. And split writes still win a little bit, but it's also marginal. So we have created, now we have the whole cluster having the nice semantics that we wanted and et cetera, but we haven't fixed our performance throughput. So what can we do in this scenario? Because what looks like we need a little bit more complicated logic. We are in square one of the problem. Reads are, what did I say? I'm sorry. Reads are above the original read write. Writes are below the original read write. And we still need protections for our critical reads. Okay, an alternative for avoiding this will be using a single writer for multi-primary cluster, which looks like, for what the benchmark we had seen before, it shouldn't be like a very bad performance trade-off in terms of whole cluster writes. And then we redirect the critical read section only to the master. And then we, for to the replica, which is we choose to read all the non-critical reads to the other replicas. So critical reads to the primary, Okay, and now we bring PostgreSQL into the picture, because that's something that we can do with PostgreSQL very easily. Control through the MySQL query rules, which offers you both of the things that you need, which is redirection and throughput control. The testing scenario. We are going to have a 10-90 ratio of writes versus reads. We are going to have a 5% of critical reads and 95% of regular reads. Okay, which is well, I would say that changing this into a more balanced ratio wouldn't impact. Okay, wouldn't impact so much the performance. Thank you. Wouldn't impact so much the performance. The problem is that if the total throughput is what you care about, okay? So the ratio is not as important as the how much you are going to stress the cluster with the throughput that you want for that ratio. So now we bring PostgreSQL into the picture. In this scenario, these are the non-critical reads, these are the critical reads, and these are writes. So we have improved almost a 50% on non-critical reads. We are retaining more or less the write load. And we have an extra 1,000 reads in the critical reads. So we have able to preserve the write throughput, increase the read throughput over 50%. And this is against the whole cluster read load and a regret split with the synchronization enabled. And this is the most important part of it. This is like this because I decided that it was going to be like this. Because if I went back here and I decided that I am not going to limit the throughput on the reads, I will go as up as almost the whole cluster throughput. And I will compromise the writes again. That will go below what you were seeing before at any time in another benchmark. And why is that? Because the total cluster throughput is what it is. So what you need is to control what you want to do with that throughput. You cannot expect just to get more reads for free. So the conclusions. Multi-primary clusters can really benefit from regular split setups. It's just like this. System measurements analysis is really hard. How hard? Really, really hard. Especially benchmarking is also very hard because most of the things that I have said here, they are right, but they are right in this scenario. And if you change slightly the scenario, may not be. Adapting the system to your workload is what you always want to do. A different workload will change everything. And the final conclusion is that control is everything. Being able to control the throughput and being able to control what you want to do with your load is what is going to decide the performance of the cluster, more than anything else. And for that, PostgreSQL is a great tool. And thank you all for your attention. And happy PostgreSQL.
For the questions.
Okay.
How do you know the maximum throughput of a cluster?
You just measure. you create an artificial environment, I would say. What I say that is very hard because it's probably not going to be the typical load that you're going to have. You try to replicate and then you measure because otherwise it's. I would say that you are not going to know which is the limiting factor until you try.
What did you use to measure the workload?
Sysbench. I was using Sysbench, the Lua one, which all the scripts, and the old, very old MySQL one, because it has let's use because. You know, you can do the same thing with the Lua one. You can create your own things and etc. But I just wanted to benchmark also what if I am selecting from different tables than the one that I am writing for and that thing. And name selection is not something that you have in the Lua one by default. Also, you don't have throughput limiting by default, and it's something that you have in the old one in the options. So for convenience, I use a mix. Which, by the way, no, it impacts the performance depending on what you're meshing. If you're meshing against PROCSQL, if you're meshing against the other proxy, it's different depending even the tool that you're choosing. Yes.
Because of write conflicts.
Yes.
So it's not very clear to me how you achieve it, like better throughput writing, because you need to certify all loads.
How I achieve better throughput writing to a single node than to the whole? To multiple nodes.
Yeah.
Probably because I was having very, very few conflicts because the size of the table that I chose were very big. And I was having very, very few conflicts during that testing. It was a very, very favorable scenario for writing. That's what I said that is super ideal. When I say that it was ideal, it was because it's super, super ideal. Yeah.
Thank you.